Hello, and welcome to the Legacy Music Hour. My name is Brent Weinbach.
I'm Rob F.
And this is the video game music podcast featuring only music from the 8-bit and 16-bit era. And before we get started with today's topic, one thing we'd like to mention now is that we have a special live event coming up on April 30th.
This is an event I think a true gamer will not want to miss.
Yeah, it's what we're calling it, the Legacy Music Dance Party. And it's basically a dance night featuring only 8-bit and 16-bit era music.
Yes.
And it's, no remixes, no video game inspired music, no covers, no adapted music, all original music composed for video games from the 8-bit and 16-bit era, and that's dancey, on the dancey side.
Right.
So it's going to be a dance party. We're going to have, it's going to be from 9 p.m. to 12 p.m. or 12 midnight, and we're also going to have games, too.
Giving out some prizes.
Yeah, prizes. Oh, what I mean by games is contests. Yeah.
Right.
We're going to have some of the segments we do on the show, like Mame That Tune, we'll do that. So where audience members will be able to participate in a Name That Tune contest. And also with the VGM Karaoke, we're going to do that, where the listeners can, or the audience members can pick a song they want to sing to. It doesn't have to be, they can have pre-written lyrics, or they can make up lyrics on the spot, or just make up gibberish on the spot. And that'll be a contest. And then also we're going to have a dance battle also. The tracks, people are not going to know the tracks they're going to have to dance to, and it will make it kind of harder to dance for them to dance to them. So that's what will be the challenge to that. And anyway, yeah, there'll be prizes for the winners, and it should be a fun night. Rob and I are going to take turns doing DJing sets. We're going to do like two sets each, I guess. And yeah.
Yeah, it's truly a night not to be missed. This is the first of hopefully a long run, if possible.
Yeah, yeah.
That would be nice. And if you're in the Los Angeles area,
that's right,
on April 30th, please do come out.
Yeah, and we'll post more information about it on the website, legacymusichour.com, but it will be happening at Meltdown Comics, or Nerdist at Meltdown, which is there's a sort of back room sort of venue to Meltdown Comics on Sunset Boulevard. And it's only $8. It's a Saturday night show, so yeah. Anyway, we'll be plugging this every episode until that night. So yeah, but you can check our website for more details, and tickets are available now too if you go to the Meltdown Comics website.
So pick them up and put your dancing shoes on. Come on out to the Legacy Music Dance Party.
Yeah, it should be fun. It should be really fun, I think.
We have a great flyer too. We're gonna be.
Oh yeah, we'll post that, and yeah, I mean, because for me, video game music is one of the few genres of music that makes me really want to dance. Actually, like I always feel like a lot of music doesn't make me want to get up and start dancing, but a lot of video game music really makes me want to start moving it. So, all right. Well, anyway, we'll be mentioning more of that later on future episodes too. All right. Well, anyway, on to today's episode.
It is a little classical music.
Classical music.
That's right.
So we're just going to play basically some classical music, or stuff that sounds classical, and from the different periods of stuff that sounds like the different periods of classical music.
Yes.
And you're starting us off today. So what do you have lined up?
Hold on, let me get my list out here. I'm going to start off with a title by the name of Act Razor.
Yeah, this is a great soundtrack.
You've played this before, I think.
Oh yeah, I've beat it. Yeah.
No. I mean, it's on the show.
Oh yeah, definitely. Yeah, this is a Yuzo Koshiro.
Exactly.
I've definitely played it. This is actually one of my favorite soundtracks, because it's actually, the whole soundtrack is very classical and has it draws from different periods of classical music too. I mean, some of it sounds Baroque and some of it sounds really 20th century, you know.
Yeah.
It's really just, it's a very sophisticated soundtrack.
I've been a little Baroque these days.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. So this
soundtrack's very fitting.
For right. Yeah.
My life right now. But that's for another time to discuss. I'm going to be playing a track called Birth of the People.
Mm-hmm.
Composer Yuzo Koshiro for ActRaiser. ActRaiser, Birth of the People.
Yeah, this has a very Baroque sound to it.
I love that. I love that sound.
Yeah. And this is a Super Nintendo title.
Yeah.
And I don't think we mentioned that, but yeah, this is, this, like I said before, this game has just a really wide variety of classical music. And yeah, well, I'll be playing something from ActRaiser as well later.
I really like the way the SNES hardware is sounding for this track.
Oh, yeah, sure, yeah. You know, you can hear those voices, obviously. Different.
It's a beautiful piece. What a beautiful piece.
Yeah. Okay, so up next, I'm going to play an NAS track called Rygar.
Rygar. Okay.
Played from that before. And this is this piece, it's actually a stretch a little bit. It may not sound that classical at first, but it actually, I don't know, it's a little bit in between. Definitely some of it sounds very Baroque at times. And then some of it actually sounds like Brahms' Lullaby. The track I'm going to play is called Grand Mountain, and the composer on this is T. Hasuya, also known as Michiharu Hasuya. And this is the music from Rygar. This is Grand Mountain. Music from Rygar. And like I said, it's kind of got, it doesn't sound exactly classical at first, but then it definitely starts to sound very classical as it goes through. I mean, this sounds actually kind of classical to me too, though. Yeah.
After that intro, I think it really gets into that classical territory.
Yeah. And right here, this is sounds like Brahms' Lullaby right here. You know,
I don't know.
You know the lullaby? It's like the Rockabye Baby kind of song. Oh, you know, when people, the falling asleep song, you know?
Okay.
you know, it's very similar, very similar. And then, right here, coming up, this is super Baroque right here. So yeah, I don't know, I don't know. I thought that seemed appropriate for the classical episode.
Nice. You
know? Music from Rygar for the Nintendo Entertainment System. Music composed by T. Husawa.
And that's from the fine folks at Tecmo.
Right, exactly. Yeah, Tecmo.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, I'm going...
Hasuya. T. Hasuya.
T. Hasuya.
Yeah, sorry.
I'm going to play a track for the Sega Genesis from Puyo Puyo.
Mm-hmm.
And this track, appropriately, is called Baroque.
Mm-hmm.
Composers Ainosuke Nagao and Masanobu Tsukamoto. Here it is. Baroque for Puyo Puyo. Puyo Puyo for the Sega Genesis.
The composers on this?
Ainosuke Nagao and Masanobu Tsukamoto.
Right, that's right, yeah.
So,
is a Mega Drive only, I think, right?
Well, the Wikipedia says it's, Mega Drive and Game Gear.
Oh, okay.
And SNES as well.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, but no Genesis. Oh, so, excuse me. I should have said it's a Mega Drive title.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
I think.
Nice little harpsichord action.
Yeah, harpsichord, Baroque, yeah. Next up, I'm going to play something from ActRaiser 2. The sequel to ActRaiser, obviously.
Revenge of ActRaiser.
Yeah, Revenge of ActRaiser. And, that would be ActRaiser 3.
Oh, is that what it is?
Well, Column. Because Column 3 is Revenge of Columns.
Every 3 will be Revenge.
Revenge is 3, for some reason, for some reason in Columns, at least. So this is also composed by Yuzo Koshiro. And again, the music is very classical sounding. And I think, this track I'm going to play right now is called Death Field. And I would say that this falls under the classical period of classical music, maybe even romantic period.
Okay.
And by the way, you know, ActRaiser 1 is a pretty easy game. It's a really good game, actually, but it's pretty easy, and I've beaten it. ActRaiser 2, very hard, by contrast, and not as good of a game, actually. There's kind of a SimCity element to ActRaiser, as well as a side-scrolling just action game. And then ActRaiser 2 doesn't have that SimCity element, just has only the side-scrolling action thing. So it has less in that regard, but the music actually I think is better, and I mean, I like it more in ActRaiser 1, but ActRaiser 2 definitely has some good tracks, and the game is so hard, actually. ActRaiser 1, I rented it when I was younger, and I got all the way up to the second to last boss, I think, and then I couldn't beat it, and I ended up having to return the game. And then I bought it later as an adult, and not too long ago, actually, like a couple of years ago or so, and finally beat the whole game. but definitely very hard. Even on the easy set or the normal setting, it's very hard. So anyway, all right. This is Death Field from ActRaiser 2, music by Yuzo Koshiro. Music from ActRaiser 2. This is Death Field.
It's got a march, classical march.
Yeah. And I'd say classical sounding, like classical period, that is, of classical music. Music by Yuzo Koshiro, composed for the Super Nintendo.
Do you remember what the box says on ActRaiser 2?
No.
100% pure action and excitement. 100%. Some games only give you 60, 70% maybe.
That's true.
My next track is going to be from Columns for the Sega Genesis. And this track I'm going to play now is called Clotho.
I would say Clotho.
Clotho?
Yeah. Yeah, I had this track picked out as well, actually.
Okay.
When I was listening to it, I kept saying to myself, we have Clotho. Does that ring a bell at all?
We have Clotho?
Yeah. We have Clotho.
Is that from Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure?
No, Beetlejuice.
Beetlejuice.
But it's not Clotho, it's Otho.
Otho.
You know, they're going to try to do the exorcism or whatever. And they're like, oh, well, how are you going to do it? And he's like, we have Otho. But instead, we have Clotho.
Well, here on the Legacy Music Hour for today's episode, we have Clotho. Composer Tokuhiko Uwabo. Clotho from Columns, which is the most recognizable song from the game I'm reading.
Right. Well, yeah, I mean it's the first level.
I've never played this game.
I have it.
It's good stuff.
Are you asking me?
Yes.
Oh, it's okay. Yeah, it's all right. I mean, yeah, it's fine. It's cool. It's all right.
For a puzzle game.
Yeah, it's okay. Yeah. I mean, I mean, you know, I probably have more fun with Tetris or something, you know.
Okay. Well, Tetris is, you know,
yeah,
it's own thing.
But yeah, no, this is the first level music and stuff, so. Clotho. I think that sounds really funny.
Clotho.
Whenever I drive by, there's like a mattress store called Orthro, and I say the same thing when I'm driving by. We have Orthro. I think this is. I like this piece a lot. There's yeah, it sounds Baroque.
Barocco.
We have Barocco. I used to know a guy in elementary school named Brock.
Like the
I should have called him Broke.
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 Yeah.
We have Barocco. I had Barocco. All right, next up I'm going to play something from Zelda 3, A Link to the Past. This is music composed by Koji Kondo. We have Kondo. And this is music from, or this is a track called Forest of Mystery. And this is when you go into the sort of lost woods in this game. And this track, I guess, sounds kind of definitely later classical music, like, you know, 19th or 20th century.
Okay.
I would say maybe later 19th century sounding. Or maybe 20th century, I don't know. Anyway, regardless, it's really good, and I like it a lot. And I'm happy to share it with you and the listeners on today's show.
Well, I'm happy to receive it, and I speak on behalf of the listeners as well.
So again, this is music composed by Koji Kondo from A Link to the Past for the Super Nintendo. Music from Legend of Zelda, A Link to the Past. This is Forest of Mystery, music composed by Koji Kondo.
Yeah, it sounds a little more modern, I think.
Yeah. Short. It's a short. It's only 20 seconds long. But, yeah, I like it. It's very fanciful, you know, or very I mean, it's fantastical. You know, it kind of sounds like a fantasy genre. Yeah.
It's the first. This is the first cartridge that used 1 megabyte of RAM for memory on the cartridge.
Hmm.
My next track is going to be for from the Famicom. I'm mm-hmm. playing a track called Famicom Wars.
Oh, yeah. Hirokazu Tanaka.
Is it Hirokazu Tanaka?
Yeah.
Okay. This track is, it reminded me of the Moonlight Sonata.
Okay.
For some reason.
Mm-hmm.
Have a listen. Maybe you'll feel the same way. From Hirokazu Tanaka, here's a track from Famicom Wars. There's a quick little number from Famicom Wars.
Yeah, that had a very, it was like a short little sort of kind of Baroque-ish kind of interlude.
Mm-hmm.
Up next, I'm going to play something from The Secret of Evermore. This is, I think, Squaresoft's first American production. And this is music by Jeremy Soule. And this is called Storekeepers. And this track sounds kind of like a Spanish guitar, kind of like a classical guitar.
Not flamenco.
Not flamenco, but like it sort of just has. Well, no, I don't mean actually Spanish guitar, but I mean, well, kind of does a little bit, but it has like a, it sounds like classical guitar music.
Okay.
Yeah. It's called Storekeepers from The Secret of Evermore for the Super Nintendo, music composed by Jeremy Soule. Music from The Secret of Evermore, composer Jeremy Soule. This is Storekeepers.
I think that sounds like Spanish guitar for sure.
Really?
Could be, reminds me of Fernando Soar,
Composer,
Spanish composer.
Yeah, I mean, it definitely has that kind of classical guitar sound, I don't know. Even kind of sounds like Baroque guitar, you know, or whatever, or something. I don't know.
That's beautiful. I wonder if a tab exists for this.
Oh, right.
That'd be cool to play.
Yeah.
My next track is going to be from Mother.
Mm-hmm.
For...
another Hirokazu Tanaka. And Keiji Suzuki, right?
Keiichi Suzuki. You got that right. The track, I'm not sure where this track is from, but it's from Mother. And it's, I think it fits in well with today's theme, classical music. For the Famicom. Reminds me of the Moonlight Sonata as well, a little bit. I like that Moonlight Sonata. Did you see that full moon the other night, by the way, Brett?
No.
Closest it's been to the Earth, I think, in 18 years.
Oh,
I
really?
That's what I read.
Oh, wow. So did it look bigger?
That's what she said. it did, actually. And that's what she said it again.
Uh-huh. Yeah, sure.
Dun, 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 dun,
yeah,
dun,
right. I should play that. Yeah.
Right.
That's also a Hirokazu Tanaka, actually. Dun, 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 dun. Up next, we're going to hear from Secret of Mana. This is music by Hiroki Kakuta. And this is called What the Forest Taught Me. And this is the area where the seasons change. Each screen, the season, it's a different season. And this track, I don't know what I would categorize this. I guess definitely, 20th century, I guess, classical. Maybe kind of on the impressionist side of things, maybe, I would think. At least parts of it sound sort of impressionistic, maybe.
Oh, okay.
Well, you'll see for yourself and you could tell me what you think. But I'd say, yeah, impressionist era classical music, maybe. And then also sort of 20th century. I don't know. All right. So music from Secret of Mana, composer Hiroki Kikuta. Music from Secret of Mana, composer Hiroki Kikuta. This is What the Forest Taught Me.
I keep thinking you're going to say something else. It sounds like you like you say, What the Forest? It sounds like you're going to say that.
What the Forest? Some of this maybe sounds a little too rhythmical to be like impressionist kind of music, I guess, but definitely some of it sounds very classical to me, like particularly this part right here. You know?
Let me ask you something. What do you mean when you say impressionist? I was trying to Wikipedia it, but I didn't have time to look it up.
Just it kind of sounds like that period of classical music, you know?
Give me an example.
Well, like, I mean, Debussy is the iconic guy from the impressionist period, but I guess Satie is of that era too, and maybe Mussorgsky. And just anything that kind of was, I guess, kind of picturesque, you know, or created kind of painting pictures with music, you know, so to speak, you know, or stuff that was sort of, yeah, creating impressions. I guess I think that also I kind of think that, I mean, just me personally, I think that the Impressionist period was sort of more like in sort of intellectual, and where the romantic, like a break from the romantic era which preceded it, which was more emotional. It was like more about emotions and stuff, and I think conveying emotion, where the impressionist period is trying to convey more pictures and stuff, like visions and stuff, you know.
I think I'm more of a fan of the romantic period.
Oh, the more emotional.
Yes.
Yeah. My favorite period is impressionist, definitely.
Okay.
But there is something, I don't know, there's something, I don't know if I'm categorizing this. This might just be maybe sounding more like some 20th century kind of thing. But I think particularly this part right here that we're listening to, there's something, I don't know, there's something kind of impressionistic about that, I think. I don't know, maybe, I don't know.
I'm going to play something from Castlevania Legends for the Game Boy. Composers Kaoru Okada and Yoichi Iwata. This is a classical music sounding track for Castlevania Legends for the Game Boy. Castlevania Legends for the Game Boy.
Another kind of very broke sounding track.
I think this is my favorite one of my set list.
Oh, okay.
I love this. If I could play this game on the Game Boy without it giving me headaches, I would.
Mm-hmm. Do you have it on Game Boy?
No.
Well, maybe the... I know that you were having trouble with Super Mario Land, and, you know, I mean, the characters on that are really, like, just little black, like, ink dots, you know? But I think maybe if the graphic... Maybe it's larger on Castlevania Legends.
Well, someone posted a YouTube video of... It looks like they connected the Game Boy to a TV out or something, so it looked normal.
Yeah,
but just blown up, and it looks confusing.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah. I don't know. I don't think I'd want to mess with that.
Up next, I'm going to play something from a game called Wordstress. Not Wordstress. Wordtress.
Wordtress.
Wordtress. This is for the Super Nintendo. And... Yeah, this game is kind of hard. I mean, I have it, actually, and it's just... It's a weird game. It kind of seems like a cheap game, but it's like Tetris, but with words. And it's hard, though, because you have to sort of make up these words, you know, with... I don't know. Anyway. This is the music from Stage C. This is from Wordtress for the Super Nintendo.
Hey, what do you call a woman who's... having an affair with a married man, and she loves Scrabble. A wordtress.
No, okay. I wanted to guess. Okay. A wordtress.
All right.
Music from Wordtress, composer Paul Mogg. This is Stage C.
Reminds me of old Mother Russia.
Oh, does it?
A little bit. I get that feel. Yeah, I'm digging it.
I like how this second voice comes in here, like right after this. There's like a harmony here. I like how that second voice comes in there.
Nice. I'm going to play another track from ActRaiser. From Yuzo Koshiro. This track is called Sky Palace.
I know this one.
From ActRaiser for the SNES.
Thank you.
Sky Palace from ActRaiser. Little church organ. Well, not a little. That's a
church heavy organ.
Big pipes. Yeah. I like that part at the beginning. Do you remember when we were talking about...
Yeah, there's that... Yeah. Yeah. Up next, I'm going to play something from a game called Faxanadu for the Nintendo. And this is music composed by Jun Chikuma. And this is a Hudson Soft game, I believe. And yeah, this is one of the tracks from Faxanadu. This is a good game. I've beat this game, and it's kind of like a side scroller adventure game. Kind of similar elements, it kind of looks a little bit like Zelda 2, A Link to the Adventures of Link. But yeah, the music's really good to this game. Anyway, this is music from Faxanadu, music composed by Jun Chikuma. Music by Jun Chikuma for the game Faxanadu for the Nintendo Entertainment System.
It's a very excellent piece. My next track is going to be from the Battle of Olympus.
Yeah, I have a lot to say about this game.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
This is a Brotherbund. No, that doesn't really sound like the like the Greek pronunciation that we're trying. I've never played this game.
I have, definitely.
Did you beat it?
Yeah, but there's a story to it, though.
Okay, well, let's play the song first.
Let's play the song, and then I'll use it as background music. Yeah.
Here's a track. This was a 1 megabit cartridge, for those of you interested in the technical specs. It was released for both Game Boy and the NES. I'm playing the NES version of... here's a track from Battle of Olympus composer Kazuo Sawa. Battle of Olympus from Kazuo Sawa.
All right.
What's your story?
Here's the thing on Battle of Olympus. I rented this game when I was a kid.
Okay.
And I, you know, I mean, that was my, you know, that's what I would do for the weekends, you know?
run games.
Go to 2020 Video on Friday, you know, after school or in the evening, you know, and pick out a game. And that was my whole weekend. That's the only thing I would do. And then I'd either return it Sunday night, or if my mom let me, I would return it in the morning on Monday. Or like early morning, you know, before going to school. And so that I could play it a little bit on Sunday evening. But so I got this game one weekend, right? Okay. And I don't know how, I don't think I got too far, but I think it's okay. First of all, this is a hard game, okay? And I got somewhere in the game. I don't know. I don't think I got too far in the game, but I'd spent the whole weekend on it, and it's a password game. You continue through passwords, right? Mm-hmm. So I had a password for it, and I wrote it down, and I always meant to rent the game again and continue where I left off and try to beat the game. I never rented this game ever again. And I kept the password for it, though, in my wallet for years and years. And I remember I just kept it in there, and, I mean, just for years afterwards, I mean, like, I'm talking like, I'm trying to think of how many years it might have been, but, well, anyway, for several years afterwards, I was cleaning out my wallet, and then I still had that password in there from Path of Olympus, and I thought, I'm probably not going to play this game ever again, and so I threw it away. Anyway, several months ago, I was thinking about this game again,
okay,
and I was thinking that I want to play this game, and I want to beat it, so bought it on eBay and got it and played through it pretty hard, beat it finally.
Okay.
And I felt very fulfilled about that. Even though I have to say that the game is okay. Some of it is so frustratingly hard that it's kind of not fun, you know? Some of it's a little too frustrating for its own good, but there's some cool elements and stuff, you know?
Oh, it's a side-scrolling action-adventure game.
Yeah. I mean, but it's... You get items, you get different abilities and stuff, you know. And definitely there's some parts to it that are just, like, really frustratingly hard that just make you pissed off, you know?
You had this password in your wallet for years, you said.
Yes, for years, definitely.
Do you keep pictures of your family in your wallet?
No, but I do keep a picture of a baby that... I got this postcard in the mail. Actually, my mother got this postcard in the mail that was for advertising photographs, you know?
Okay.
And there was a sample photograph on the postcard of a baby, and it looks really funny to me. So I cut it out, and it looks like an actual photo. And I just keep that in my wallet. So whenever I open it up at the store or whatever, people would think that that's my baby.
Right.
But it's not.
So you have pictures of a fake baby and a password, but no
I
family.
Used to keep a picture of an entire, like, a super white family in my, like, this group picture, this family portrait. It's like really, like, blonde white family,
yeah.
And I used to keep that in there. I said that was my family. that was my family, and then I used to keep that and the baby, and I would tell people that was my kid. I mean, I would jokingly say it was my kid.
Right.
I don't have pictures of my real family, but I keep pictures of my fake family in there. and password at Battle of Olympus. Those are the things you'll find in Brent Weinbach's wallet. But this game though, man, I'll tell you, man, it felt like an accomplishment to beat it though, because it definitely gets really hard. Yeah. So anyway, and there's actually this one track from this game that the music is so it's funny. I mean, it's really funny sounding track and stuff. And maybe I'll play it on the show at one point.
Cool.
Anyway, that's my story about Battle of Olympus.
That's a good one.
So it was like a 20-year project basically. Eventually beating that game, you know, or something like that, you know. All right. So up next. I feel like that was my track now at this point. Up next, I'm going to play something from Solomon's Key. This is another Tecmo title.
RPG?
No, this is it's kind of more of like a puzzle game. Not a puzzle. It's got puzzle aspect. It's kind of a side-scrolling puzzle kind of thing. The sequel to this is Fire and Ice, you know, which I played on the puzzle episode.
Okay.
But I feel like this has less, this has more action elements to it than Fire and Ice, which seems to me more puzzle like.
Solomon looks like Robin Hood, kind of.
Oh yeah.
Standing on two blocks of tofu.
Right. Mm. So this track, I don't know how to categorize this too, as far as classical music goes. I mean, it kind of sounds Baroque in a way, but it also sounds really sort of 20th century in a way. You know, I don't know. You see for yourself. This is music from Solomon's Key for the Nintendo Entertainment System. Yeah, I don't know if I'd call this Baroque, but there's something about it that's
reminiscent
definitely
of it.
Something. I don't know, but it sounds, I don't know even know how to describe it really. Maybe it doesn't even fit classical. I don't know. But this is music composed by, I didn't mention this earlier, music composed by Michiharu Hasutani. I don't know. There's some kind of quality to it that sounds kind of classical, though, doesn't it?
I think so.
Yeah. It's kind of got an unusual quality to it, too, I think.
My set is going to be closed out with another Columns track.
Okay.
Composer Tokuhiko Uwabo. This track is called Filthy. Filthy from Columns. You thought I pronounced it wrong.
No, it's filthy.
Because they've got Greek sounding names.
Right. Filthy. We have filthy. All right. So, all right, I'm going to play something from ActRaiser. I don't know if I should play something. I definitely want to close the set with that ActRaiser because I think it'd be a nice compliment to the first track you played from ActRaiser. I'll play two tracks. Okay. So play something from ActRaiser. This is called North Wall. And this is, this is definitely more sort of contemporary sounding classical music. And music composed by Yuzo Koshiro for the Super Nintendo. Thank you. This is music by Yuzo Koshiro for ActRaiser. This is called North Wall.
I was looking at this track as well when I was looking at ActRaiser tracks to pick for this episode.
Yeah, I like this piece a lot. This is particularly like this part. Listen. I don't know if you could hear that just now, but there was the strings sort of do this sort of like wah, wah, wah. They kind of, there was like the pitch was bent, or there was like a pitch bending with the strings instead of, I mean, it sounded, you know, not organic. It sounded synthesized, you know, but it was an interesting right. fusion of sort of the sort of more classical sound mixed with something that sounds more, more technical, you know. I think that's a neat fusion of things, you know. So, yeah, I don't know. I like how this piece ends, too, you know. Like, there's an actual ending to it, you know. But in the gameplay, it ends, too, and it'll just repeat. But that's kind of interesting that it doesn't loop right into itself, you know. But, Here's that pitch bending thing right here, coming up right here. No, I might take a little while to get there, but. Anyway, whatever, you can't really hear it.
That's cool.
All right, well, that brings us to the end of our show. Classical music was the topic.
I think it was a great one.
Here at the Legacy Music Hour. And if you'd like a full track listing, you can go to legacymusichour.com. You can contact us at legacymusichour@gmail.com.
281-SONIC-91 is the number.
Yeah, if you want to call and leave a message. And that's it. So our topic for next week is Konami. I guess we're going to do just only Konami games, a focus on Konami.
Excellent. You know, I used to work for Konami.
Wait, is that true?
Yes.
Oh, what did you do there?
Game tester.
Oh, I didn't realize that.
I'll talk about it in the next episode. Sure. Of course, it was after 8-bit, 16-bit era, but still, nonetheless, I worked there.
Okay, right. So that's for next week. So we're going to leave you with another track from ActRaiser. And pretty ActRaiser heavy on today's episode. But it makes sense, though, because it's a very classical soundtrack. And it's a good one, too. So it's going to be like an ActRaiser sandwich. Because you started with a very Baroque track from ActRaiser,
right?
And this track is very 20th century. It's very kind of, I think, kind of on the expressionistic, has a kind of an expressionistic sound to it, and it's just like totally the opposite of that first track from ActRaiser. Still the same game though, and still the same overall category of classical, but this is called Pyramid Mirana, and again, this is music composed by Yuzo Koshiro for the game ActRaiser for the Super Nintendo. My name is Brent Weinbach.
My name is Rob F.
Thank you for listening.